time to cork local and learn more about the Northwest's best wines. This is Northwest Wine Night Radio, featuring the stories behind the bottle and the people who are part of the growing industry. Northwest Wine Night Radio, presented by Willamette Valley Vineyards, Oregon's home of classic, elegant wines. Now, from the Northwest Wine Night Radio studios in Seattle, here's your host, Brian Calvert.
Welcome once again to Northwest Wine Night Radio. It's so great to have you along listening to the show where we celebrate all local producers, the winemakers, the brewers, the distillers, the craft cider makers. They're all part of this show as we get to know them, their stories, their products, and encourage you that if you choose to drink alcoholic beverages, you support local business people first. That's what we're all about here. Brittany Peralt, our senior producer on the other side of the glass, she's going to keep me in line. And she's like, hurry it up, get to our first guest. So we got to get you on the road. We're going on the road again to our studios down south of Willamette Valley Vineyards for this next conversation. This segment of the show, we're actually in our remote studio location at Willamette Valley Vineyards, just outside of Salem, Oregon, where I am going to introduce you to the Spectres. They are a Bells Up Winery of Newburgh, winemaker Dave Spector and the lovely Sarah Pearson Spector, who brought a pie to the taping this morning. You know, most winemakers, they come to the show and they bring us wine. But Sarah, and I'm just going to start there because you actually brought a grape pie. And I had never heard of it before, but apparently this goes over pretty well.
They do. They go over very, very well.
What made you, I mean, did Dave get mad that you were taking the grapes out of his bottles and using them in your pies?
No. They're actually seedless. Okay. It's a seedless grape, but with wine grape parentage. We started making them a couple of years ago. I have a U-pick problem. So I need a 12-step for my U-pick problem. And so we have a freezer full of frozen grapes.
Well, you made pie. I don't consider it a problem, especially because you're sharing your pie. So it's not a problem to me.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's talk wine for a little bit because, you know, pie is like that. Oh, look, something shiny. And then I get all diverted over there. Dave, tell me about getting into the... Take us back to your very beginnings in wine. Where did you first find this interest?
Boy, it started for me many, many years ago. I was actually in law school, and I was just beginning my career, and I was very fortunate to have some older friends that really introduced a young guy like me into the world of wine. Mm-hmm. And just kind of started experimenting with a lot of different things. And, you know, when you're young and you're just not... You can't get focused on anything. You're just not sure what's out there. It was just great to have guidance. Ultimately found Oregon wines and just fell in love with them. And even then, after I fell in love with them, it took me a couple of years to realize how deeply I was in love with them, trying different, you know, the Californians and the Frenches. But what we do in Oregon here is just so special and so unique. And just love to have the opportunity to work with them. But back then, geez, I mean, I couldn't even dream. I was looking at starting a legal career and you know, the last
could have made more money.
Could have made a lot more money.
Amen.
Yeah, as which Sarah reminds me every day.
Well, speaking of Sarah, where does the lovely Sarah enter the story?
Well, so this is a good one. So before I went to law school, I got an MBA, and there was a gentleman as classmate there who married somebody who worked with Sarah, and. Apparently, now I had not heard this, but introduced the concept of me to her as, I found the man you're going to marry.
Oh.
True story.
Had I known this, I would have run for the hills, but that's a bit much pressure to put on.
She's sitting right here, Dave.
But she probably, you know.
He did run for the hills. did.
So how was this sold to you?
How was this, oh, the witch.
No. Go out with him.
Oh, yeah, definitely. She said, I have the man that you're going to marry.
Really?
Yeah. And I said, okay.
Did so.
Really?
So tell me about the first date.
Oh, the first date. Well, we actually were introduced at a party at a fundraiser for an art museum in Cincinnati, and she had brought him, and that's where we met. And he sent me a note a couple days later and said, I'd really like to take you out, but I'm getting ready to take the bar exam and then go overseas to Europe to visit some friends and do a few other things. So I'll call you in 3 months.
So that was you're like, okay, he just giving me the brush
right.
off.
Yeah,
right?
That's kind of what it was. But yeah, eventually we went out and we liked each other as people. And I think we just started spending a lot of time together. And then all of a sudden, boom, we were a couple, so. I don't know. Just,
did he?
He kind of grew on me, like a fungus. So,
you know. A good fungus.
A good fungus.
No,
with
rock,
a great wine pairing. So,
did he tell you in the beginnings that he might have an interest in wine, or did he not have the interest yet?
I think he had the interest, but I don't. At that point, we had not even the whole winemaking thing was not in play. It wasn't something that no. I thought I was marrying an attorney. I really did.
And you're like, okay, I can do this.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we thought we were going to have the suburban Cincinnati dream, which is where we came from, and we had the house in the suburbs, and you know, two working professionals, and it just things change. So.
But it sounds like this story has a happy ending, but let's work our way through the story. So you decide that law's not my thing. Did you immediately think you could make your own wine, or did your journey with wine start maybe you were helping somebody else make wine?
We kind of started to get into it a little bit, a couple of years prior to my decision ultimately to leave law. We kind of just got into it as a hobby that we could do together. And what we started to find was I really fell in love with the nuts and bolts of making the wine. And I mean, we started with box winemaking kits that we went and got at the store. And, you know, and it was a hobby. And then over time, as you hear from so many winemakers that get into it the way I did, it becomes a hobby that spirals out of control.
Right.
And it's more and more stuff. And then you have to move on to the real grapes. And then at some point I started to realize, you know, I'm really, really enjoying this in a way that I was not enjoying myself in my legal career.
Interesting.
It had all of the things that appealed to me, attention to detail and really focusing on quality, but it gives you at the end of the day something tangible, something that all of the memoranda that I wrote and all of the opinions that I put together just at the end of the day couldn't. And so this, strangely, and I found as I've kind of gotten in more into this that this getting into wine really is a common path for frustrated professionals. We meet more and more of them all the time.
And you're so frustrated, nothing like a glass or two or three of wine to take that frustration away, right?
Well, you're killing two birds with one stone. I mean, you're getting not only the benefit of product, but you're also getting that benefit of satisfaction of making something that, like I say, appeals to those parts of your personality.
And thus, Bell's Up Winery was born.
Sort of.
And...
Never that direct.
And how did it get that name? We're going to find out when we continue our conversation in just a moment.
Let's mix up something delicious. It's time for the Drink of the Week, presented by Heritage Distilling Company. Here's Brian and Heritage Distilling's Justin Stiefel.
Well, let's mix up something delicious. Justin Stiefel, what will we call our Drink of the Week this week?
We call this our BSB Cooler.
The BSB. Now, the BSB, that's that brown sugar bourbon you guys make.
The brown sugar bourbon, BSB. It'll change your life forever.
Okay, and so this drink, again, is called?
The BSB Cooler.
And what ingredients do we need?
You need to get BSB brown sugar bourbon, an ounce and a half of that. You need 2.5 ounces of lemonade and 2 ounces of club soda.
How does this all come together?
You just mix it up and combine it all, serve it on ice.
There's no special order you have to do it in
No.
for the magic.
No, that's right. And the BSB is available in retailers all over and now on Amazon Prime. And if you're in Seattle, Bellevue, or Kirkland, it can be delivered to your house in less than 60 minutes.
Yeah, now you can find out more by going to the website. It's heritagedistilling.com.
That's the Drink of the Week, presented by Heritage Distilling Company, America's most awarded craft distillery. Find, buy, and ship Heritage products through their website, heritagedistilling.com.
Stay with us. More Northwest Wine Night Radio to come, including part two of our story with our favorite couple from Bell's Up Winery. You won't want to miss it. More fun still ahead.
So much wine in one great place. We could only be talking about Woodinville Wine Country. Just 30 minutes from downtown Seattle, you have access to more than 100 wineries and tasting rooms. So whether you have an afternoon or an entire weekend, you can taste some of the best wines being made locally in one wonderful area nestled in the beautiful Sammamish River Valley. For more information, be sure to check out their website, woodinvillewinecountry.com. There are all kinds of resources. Of course, you'll find a list of Woodinville wineries. You'll also also find tour information, food and lodging resources, everything you need to make your trip to Woodinville Wine Country even better. And there's always something going on in Woodinville. Check out the event calendar at woodinvillewinecountry.com. Make plans now to spend time in Washington's premier wine destination. Less than a half hour from downtown Seattle, Woodinville Wine Country. Visit online at woodinvillewinecountry.com.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Any daughter would do the same. But soon enough, he needed help doing more things. And it was up to me to be his personal shopper and financial manager, too. And before I knew it, Dad moved in with me. So I became his cook, his personal assistant, his physical therapist, and even his nurse. When I started taking care of Dad, I didn't realize all the roles I'd have to play. But no matter what, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the many roles you play. And to help, we created an online caregiving resource center. At aarp.org/caregiving, you can find resources and connect with the caregiving community. Together, we can better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to learn more. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
And best friends.
I love my sister.
My heart doesn't see race. Love is love.
Our family is no less than any other family.
Love is kind. Love is patient.
We're back with more Northwest Wine Night Radio, presented by Willamette Valley Vineyards and heard every week on radio stations across the Pacific Northwest. Once again, here's Brian.
Welcome back to Northwest Wine Night Radio. If you weren't with us in our last segment, I'm going to reintroduce you to winemaker Dave Spector and Sarah Pearson Spector of Bells Up Winery of Newburgh. Basically, we learned that Dave was studying to be an attorney, and he was headed down that track, and the wine bug bit, and decided that he would have a more fulfilling life making wine instead. But does he have a more fulfilled wife by making the choice to go from law to wine?
Right, yeah, and it's interesting. We actually came out here in 2008 on vacation, and we stayed at Chehalem Ridge Bed and Breakfast right up the hill from where our property is now, and we fell in love with the view. And you know when you go on vacation, you're like, oh, I could totally live here. This was the first place I ever said, we're going to live here, and you're going to make wine, and we're going to do it. And we got back from that vacation, and my mentor let me know that she had just been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. She was 40 and had 3 small children, and we were both 35 at the time. And Dave had just kind of had it with work, and he was miserable. He was very successful at what he did, but he didn't like what he was doing. And I looked at him and I looked at her and I said, you know, life is just too short. And imagine how much more successful you'd be if you were doing something you loved. So he kept making wine. He took an internship at an urban winery, called Hanke Winery in Cincinnati, learned everything he could, and, made a bunch of wine in the basement, and in 2011 won 2 amateur national winemaking competitions with 2 different wines, and I said, that's our sign, and we put the house on the market, and we moved out here in 2012, and here we are. So
are you responsible for Bells Up or for the name?
Not exactly. I found the property, which is on Bell Road.
Oh.
But Dave will tell you all about the name.
Oh, okay. Apparently this is your story.
This part is mine, yes. And a name I had to kind of fight for because the marketing department at first didn't like it. But
as in Sarah?
As in Sarah, exactly. we have a very simple operation, and it's basically the two of us. So, yeah, either one of us is doing something or the other is.
And we all know which one's in charge.
Absolutely.
And which I've never denied, and I found that really helps our marriage quite a bit.
Absolutely.
So bells up. So one of the things that I did way back, I was a French horn player, and I started playing in junior high, and I played all the way through law school and some points thereafter, which is why our logo for the winery is a French horn. Mm-hmm. Bells up, Sarah was hounding me for a long time. I need a name. I need you to pick a name. And I said, I know, I'd love to pick one too, but we have to find the property. Whatever it is, it's going to come organically from the property. And we found this particular property on Bell Road. I had wanted to work the music theme into it somehow, and I thought, this is perfect, because you have the bell of the French horn, you have Bell Road. What Bells Up specifically refers to is normally when you're playing a French horn, the bell of the horn actually sits on your right leg. You're sitting down. You play the valves with your left hand. It's actually the only instrument, really, that's meant to be played backwards, pointing in the other direction. But then
that explains a lot about you.
Pretty much, right? Yeah. People have been saying I've been pointing myself in the wrong direction for years, so this was nothing new. But then there are certain moments in music where the composer wants you to project and really play out. And at that point, you'll see something in the score that'll say bells up. And the idea is that you lift the bell off of your leg up into the air, and you project. This is your time as a French horn player to shine. Because we're not like trumpet players or violinists. We don't get very many moments like this.
It's not like you get the solo very often.
Not very often. So when you get one, you're really out for it. You got to take advantage while you can.
I love the story behind the name. There, it's always a fun adventure.
He just alienated the entire trumpet listening audience.
Fortunately, we have more wine lovers than trumpet lovers. Good. Yeah, okay, that's good. Sorry. Let's talk real quick about the lineup at Bells Up. What are the different varietals that you guys specialize in there?
Exactly. So what we've put out so far, and you know, we've really only been around for about a year that we've had the doors open. So our goal has been to start very, very simple, to just kind of see where we go from there. What we're pouring right now is we have a Pinot Blanc, we do a rosé of Pinot Noir, we do a couple of different Pinot Noirs, and we do a Syrah. Obviously, Pinot Noir is what the Willamette Valley is known for. We love being able to show off the different sub-AVAs with some different tastes and do that. We work with some fabulous small growers, and I think it's important to me for us to point that out. We love to work with small growers for a couple reasons. One is we don't need a lot of fruit. We're a 400 case place. We are garagiste and proud of it and tiny. So working with the small growers, you know, we can really have more attention. They pay more attention to detail on their own vineyards. We can get far more say in farming techniques, and it's just much easier to grab, for example, an entire small block versus a couple of rows from big guys that don't really want to deal with you.
Well, Sarah, here we are in the first big year of releasing wines, and this is the dream. Have your dreams come true?
Well, not quite.
I was building you up for this huge Cinderella ending.
Yeah, no. The marketing department was really hoping we would sell out of everything last year, and we sold out of three. Okay. And sold about half of the other two.
But that's not a bad first year.
No, not bad. Not bad when you're, again, only 400 cases. Mm-hmm. We're getting there. It's a process. It's a lifestyle, I am reminded regularly.
But it's fun.
It is fun. It is fun, too.
And you're never short on a bottle of wine?
Never. No, never.
And you don't turn down a bottle of wine?
Oh, never. Well, no, absolutely not.
All right.
No.
Just checking. So this is working out well for both of you. That's what I wanted to make sure of.
Oh, absolutely.
It could be better.
He's shooting daggers.
For our friends who would like to find out more about Bells Up Winery in Newburgh, can we send them to your website?
Absolutely. It's bellsupwinery.com.
All right. And we don't have to put in any special characters or anything?
Nope. No French
words. All right. You guys, it was a pleasure meeting you, Dave and Sarah. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. And we wish you all the best at Bells Up.
You bet. Thanks so much for having
us. Thank you for having us.
Wasn't that fun? Hey, we have some more fun on the radio coming up. We have a food pairing, something that you might make for dinner. We've got a wine idea to pair it with, all coming right up. Willamette Valley Vineyards. Visit them in person just south of Salem off I-5 or visit them online, WVV.com.
Chef DJ McIntyre is with me. And if I'm somewhere in the Oregon area and I'm planning a special event, I don't suppose you have an event space around here, do you?
We've got a couple event spaces. Let's see, we've got our original tasting room, which was what we started with about 30 years ago is now actually we call it the Peanut Room. And that's actually a great private spot.